I bring you greetings from Cagayan de Oro, the city of golden friendship in northern Mindanao. I am Joseph C. Bayawa, your pastor based in Cagayan de Oro, married to my ever-supportive wife, Feli. And we have four grown children, one boy and three girls, and two grandchildren. Our two married children are based in Las Piñas. The two single daughters are based in Cebu. As you may have noticed, we are evenly distributed throughout the Philippines, Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao. Just a quick background, my wife and I are both civil engineers. We worked here in Manila for 26 years before we heeded a call to go full-time. My wife came to know the Lord ahead of me through a Bible study in her office in Makati. I came to know the Lord through a CCF Bible study in AIM in 1988. We joined CCF in 1989 and attended every leadership training available. Within 3 months, we joined a D group. We called it a cell group at that time. And in 1991, we started our own cell group. And by the grace of God, our cell group grew to 7 small cell groups with a total of about 80 members. We covered 3 demographic levels: couples, singles, and youth. In addition to this, we were consistently involved in various ministries in CCF, Sukat, at that time, together with our children. It is quite encouraging to note that our first D12 member, while still in Manila, recently responded to the challenge to be a pastor in one of the satellite churches of CCF Alabang. Praise God. In early 2000, we planted a CCF church in Cebu. We accepted the challenge with peace and joy in our hearts. We were commissioned by our elders sometime in the first quarter of year 2000. And in May 2000, we went to Cebu, bringing along our youngest daughter, Melissa, who was to enter first-year high school at that time. Our third child, Grace, voluntarily joined us in 2002 after finishing college here in Manila. CCF Cebu was officially declared a church plant or an outreach in October 2000. The years that followed were very exciting and extremely challenging. Planting growing a church in Cebu was tough. It is a culturally, traditionally hostile territory. While we kept on planting, the results we were expecting did not materialize immediately. And because of this, corporately, we were not doing our job. The conclusion was, we were not doing our job, or we were doing it the wrong way. I struggled with the thought. I was discouraged and screamed inwardly, pouring out my heart to God, and I told him, "You trained and equipped me for this. The CCF mission, vision, core values, and the main ministry of CCF, which is the D group, are very clear to me. Why isn't anything happening?" By His grace, however, we kept on doing what we were trained and called to do, entrusting the rest to the Lord. After manning the fort in Cebu for almost 7 years, I received a call from CCF Maine telling me that the leadership has decided to relocate us to Cagayan de Oro to help the ministry there. Early on in my Christian life, God has given me the grace to take His word seriously so that submitting to authority was actually not a major problem. But while it was okay with us, it was a different story with regards to my two daughters. I was bringing Melissa, our youngest, to school when I got the call, and she was shocked when she heard me say, "Okay." I shared the news to my wife, and she paused for a while, and being the great encourager that she is, she said, "This is nothing less than coming from the Lord. Maybe God wants to expand us and do it in that area too." Our other daughter, Grace, works in FEBC Cebu as a radio programmer and broadcaster. When we broke the news to her, she cried, knowing our lives will be different from then on. I was heartbroken upon seeing her cry, as it happened to her twice already. We were heartbroken and had a bit of apprehension on its effect to our children. They can join us because one was working and the other one was finishing college. at that time. And so God's call prevailed, and we could only tell him, our lives with our children are given to you. Please take good care of them while we are far from each other. My wife and I had peace. We were confident the Lord will always be with them. In July 2007, we moved to CDO, or Cagayan de Oro. We were warmly welcomed by the leadership there. I was tasked to run the day-to-day activities of CCF CDO, at the same time, oversee CCF Malaybalay. Well, CCF CDO and CCF Malaybalay required some alignment with regards to the CCF mission, vision, core values, and the main ministry, which is the D12 or D group. Alignment from tradition and culture into CCF DNA is a somewhat tough and messy job. Like renovating a house, it simply couldn't happen overnight. We praise God that with GLC actively in place, the task of alignment is a lot easier now. We have been in CDO for almost 6 years now, and by God's grace, there's now a total of 6 outreaches there. CCF CDO as the hub, CCF Malaybalay, CCF Iligan, CCF Manolo Fortich, CCF Valencia, and CCF Dipolog. CCF's overall target for year 2020, praise God, is 100 satellite churches. We in Northern Mindanao are praying for at least 7 more satellite churches up to 2020. Ongoing right now are the D-group formation in Butuan City, Hingoog City, and Osami City. We ask you to pray with us and for us. We consider it a privilege that God led us to Northern Mindanao. We are committed to join him where he is moving while we still can. And we believe it was the work of the Holy Spirit who guided our leaders into deciding to relocate us to CDO. The move was not easy for us, but God has shown himself always good and faithful. He has sustained us, pruned us, empowered us, and never gave up on us. My wife and I are learning to focus more on the things that God has gifted us with. We are humbled by the fact that God's CCF satellite churches, where we are involved in, are planted in spite of ourselves. To God be the glory.
Make it a habit. Walk by the Spirit. Have you been practicing this? Yes or no? I'm going to remind you. What you hear, you forget. But what you do, you remember. So I want us to practice walking by the Spirit. And this is the message we're going to share with you tonight. This is part 4. We will continue talking about the Holy Spirit. You will be asking me, I thought our theme is to know him and make him known. Ladies and gentlemen, how can you make Christ known if you don't know the Holy Spirit? And that's why you need to listen to the following messages. Have you heard of the word in Tagalog, sayang? Ano nangyari sa kanya? Have you heard of such expression? Sayang. What happened? In English, what is sayang? Waste. What a waste. You do that to describe someone who is very talented, who is very promising, but for whatever reason, he did not turn out as expected. Well, I know you have many friends like that. My concern is this. At the end of your life, I do not want you, your family members, or the people around you to say, sayang, what happened to this person? What do I mean? God has an amazing plan for your life. If you don't mind, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Let's read that together. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Everybody, if you don't mind, let's read this together. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. Observe the following. Number one, we, meaning all of us believers, we are his workmanship. The word workmanship, if you look at different Bible translation, is from the original word poema. You are God's masterpiece. A masterpiece means there are no duplicates. You are unique. You are special. You are precious in the eyes of God. The Bible says we are His. You are God's masterpiece. Turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor you are special. You are unique. Are you convinced you are special? There is no one else like you. There is no one else in the whole universe that's like you. You are so precious. God has designed you for a particular mission, a particular purpose that no one else can do as good as you. Everybody, let's read that verse one more time. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. God has designed you for an amazing purpose, to be a blessing to others. Continue reading. Which God prepared beforehand, meaning before you were born, He was thinking of you, that we should walk in them. Now, everybody, since you were given a glimpse, what is the context of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10? What are the verses before verse 10, everybody? Ephesians chapter 2, verse what? 9. Before 10, it's 9. Before 9, it is what? 8. That's the context. Now, what is verse 8 and 9? How many of you are familiar with verse 8 and 9? Raise your hand. Kanina, nakasilip na kayo. Raise your hand higher. Now, look at the context of this verse, okay? The context of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 is found in Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. Let us read that context, everybody. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one may boast. This is the context, everybody. For by grace. What is grace? Grace is not the name of a girl. For by grace. Grace means something you don't deserve. You will never deserve it. For by grace, something we don't deserve. For by grace we are saved. Saved means what? See, many people don't know they're lost. If they don't know they're lost, they don't know the meaning of the word saved. The Bible tells us, because of sin, we are under condemnation. Because of sin, we are sentenced to go to hell. That's very clear in the Bible. If the Bible is not true, I will not waste my time talking about Jesus. So the Bible says, for by grace we are saved. Notice, saved from what? Damnation. Saved from hell, from the penalty of sin. How? Through, everybody, faith. Faith is believing what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Faith is believing there is nothing you can do to earn salvation. Now, this is very hard for people in this country. Because of our religion, we are used to thinking, I must do something in order for God to accept me. That is our religion. You got to do penance. You have to do sacraments. We are very sincere, okay? We do rituals. Almost all the religions of the world have certain rituals. You got to do something in order for God to accept you. Comprende? We don't understand the meaning of grace. We don't understand the meaning of unconditional acceptance. But can I tell you something? The Bible says you will never deserve what? Salvation. It is paid for by Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, in your place, in my place, the Bible tells us that is grace. He did not have to die for you. So let's read that one more time, everybody. For by grace, notice grace, you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. In other words, even faith is a gift of grace. Without grace, it's hard for you to believe. Read the next verse. Not as a result of works that no one may boast. Do you understand? Good works will never save us. However, most churches stop here. We are saved by faith, saved by grace, not by works. Don't stop. We are saved not by good works, by grace. In order, after you are saved, what must you do? Get involved in good works. Understand? The sequence. You and I are saved by grace, not by good works. But now that you are saved, the Bible says you must be involved in good works. So the evidence of salvation is changed lives, good works. To show you the power of grace, to show you the power of God's Spirit to transform lives, let me share with you Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, an example. Let's read this together. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing work with his own hands, what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has no need. This is addressed to robbers, to thieves. The Bible says, "Uy, magnanakaw." Everybody read, he who steals must what? Stop stealing. Don't steal anymore. What must you do? Work hard. The word says labor. You must work hard, performing work with your own hands. For what purpose? That you may, everybody read, that you may share with those who has need. Notice, once upon a time, a thief, a robber, because of the gospel of Jesus, stop stealing, work so that you can feed yourself, but don't stop there. Work hard so that you can be a blessing to others. Imagine that, from a thief to a philanthropist to help others. Now tell me, who alone can do that? Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God transforms people. No other government institution, I don't care which government in any country, can transform the hearts of people. But the gospel of Jesus, by grace, transforms lives. Why? He gives us the Holy Spirit. If you are not motivated by love, then you are motivated by legalism. I must do this, I must do that. No, no, no. The Bible says God loves you, you are forgiven. Now, walk by the Spirit. Allow God's Spirit to control you. Amen? Now, how do you unleash your full potential? Because you are God's masterpiece. How do you unleash God's full potential in your life? Everybody, this is the operative verse that we gave last week. Let's read this together. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not what? Carry out the desire of the flesh. The word walk is a command, present tense, meaning it's a way of life. You live by the Spirit so that you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. The desire of the flesh is selfishness, ego, gossip, immorality, pornography, stealing. But the Bible says, walk by the Spirit. If you follow the Spirit, you will not gratify the desire of the flesh. Now, 10 verses later, you have the same word, but you think it's the same. It's not the same. Let's read this together. Galatians 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. English translation, same. But the original word is different. The first walk, peripateo, means it's a way of life. So you walk by the Spirit. The second word, walk, here is different. It is a military term. It means you march in order. You don't go ahead step by step. Those of you who are in military training, when you do parade, when you do marching, what do? Cadence, step by step. You don't go ahead. You don't go too far below. God is saying you walk by the Spirit. Don't walk ahead. Don't walk below. Keep in step with the Spirit. It's like a military term. Strict instruction. You don't go ahead of the ranks. You follow step by step. Ladies and gentlemen, did you practice walking by the Spirit? Remember the challenge. Next 30 days, we are to walk by the Spirit step by step. Remember, again, let me remind you, once you leave this place and you're about to enter the elevator and it's very tight, what must you do if you walk by the Spirit? Instead of pushing and shoving, what will you do now? Please go ahead. Will you do that? If you are going to take a public ride in the MRT, instead of pushing people, what will you do? Oh, sige, mauna ka na. Is that okay with you guys? When you are driving, somebody will cut you. What do? You smile. Walk by the Spirit. Okay? In other words, practice. Lord, you take over. That's how I want you to practice this for the next 30 days. Now, this is a continuation. Everybody, let's read this together. Unleash God's full potential in your life. Practice the obey now principle. Now, what is the obey now principle? There is a book written. It's called the 10-second rule. What is the 10-second rule? It's the same principle, obey now principle. The foundation of that principle is found in Psalm chapter 119, verses 59 to 60. Let's read this together. I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I hastened and did not delay. Notice, I did not delay to keep your commandments. That book, I recommend you read, but the gist of the story is something like I'm going to share with you. If you know it is something God wants you to do, you must do it now. Everybody say it with me. Do it now. Let me give you an example. Do you have impression sometimes God wants you to do something, but you did not do it? What happened? For example, my wife was led by the Lord, impressed upon her to share the gospel with our neighbor. We used to live in Antipolo. My wife did not do it. A few weeks later, our neighbor was murdered. That was a lesson for my wife. Today, you see my wife. When the impression is upon her, she shares the gospel. Recently, we met our ex-caddy. These are you familiar with caddy? When you play golf, you have caddies. These are women caddies. She came to us, she said, "Sir, ma'am, you must have forgotten me, but I was your caddy. I want you to know, you shared the Bible with me." My wife shared the Bible with her. My children are now in college, and they are all following Jesus. Thank you for sharing the gospel. You see, when God impresses upon your heart, you must do it when? Now. Say that with me. Do it now. If you begin to give excuses, let me pray about it. Let me think about it. If you are relatively sure God wants you to do something, what must you do? Do it now. If God tells you, apologize, ask for forgiveness, what must you do? Do it now. Many times I make phone calls because God impressed upon my heart, you call this person. And you know, I'm surprised. When I call that person, he will tell me, how did you know I needed to talk to you? The Spirit of God. Let me tell you a story of a father and a son. The father went to the ATM machine to withdraw money. Upon withdrawing the money, he went to the car, and then suddenly there was a hard knock in the window of the car. Now, if you're the father, you just withdrew money, and somebody knocked, will you be scared? Man, the father got shocked, you know? And then he looked. It was a lady. And he smiled. At least it's a lady. And then he said, what can I do for you? The lady said, can you help me with food for my grandchildren? The father was led by the Spirit. Okay, you help this girl. So the father said, all right, let's go to the supermarket. So the father bought her food. After that, the father said, what else can I do for you? The lady said, I have a doctor's prescription. I need medicine. The father was thinking, in Tagalog, bakit ako nagtanong niyan? In English, I should not have asked her. Now, his money is slowly going away, right? Now, pharmacist. Make a long story short, he bought the medicine. He asked the girl, you need a ride home? I'll bring you home. So the son, the father, and the girl was at the back. When they were about to drop her off, the girl asked an amazing question. The girl said, sir, are you a Christian? The father said, yes. The girl said, I prayed before I met you that God will guide me to a Christian. The girl left. The father used that moment to teach his son, a teenager, who was questioning the reality of God. The father said, son, do you see? God is real. God is at work. You know, the problem is never God. The problem is you and I, his representatives, we don't hear. Because you have never been trained to listen to the Holy Spirit. Starting today, I'd like you to know something. Is God's Spirit in your life, yes or no? Louder.
Yes.
Now, you be sensitive. Starting today, when you wake up in the morning, you say, Lord, how will you use me? And then you listen to him. Now, I want to teach you, in the next part of this message, it's about the story of David. But listen to me. I want you to understand this principle. You begin with the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. And then you practice obey now principle. Say that with me. Obey now. And then in time, as you obey now, in small decisions, in time, you'll discover God's full potential in your life. You will never dream what's going to happen in your life. And I will show you from the Bible how these principles are applied. Holy Spirit. Next, obey now principle. And then time. Allow time. And boom, you will discover what you were meant to be. And then next week, Lord willing, I will come and talk to you again. What happened if you fail? Would you like to know? That's next week. This week, we will practice obey now principle. Say that with me. Obey now. How many of you know the story of David? Yes or no? Most of us skip the beginning. The beginning is very important. God told the prophet Samuel, I want a new king. Go to the family of Jesse. One of his sons will become the king. I want you to imagine now you are Jesse. Okay, imagine you are Jesse. And a prophet tells you, one day, one of your sons will occupy Malacañang Palace. He will be the president of the Philippines. Will you be excited? Yes or no?
Yes.
Man, Jesse must have been so excited. One of your sons will be the king. Now, Samuel was the real prophet, okay? Beware of false prophet. You call them prophet. Okay? I'm talking about prophet, real prophet. Real prophet speaks for the word of God. 100% it will come true. False prophet gives prediction. It does not come true. They have all kinds of excuses. Beware of these people. Comprende? So, Jesse was so excited. So, Jesse presented his most promising son. Everybody read. When they entered, he looked at Eliab. Surely, the Lord's anointed is this guy. The Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or the height of his stature. I have rejected him. God sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. Can you turn to your neighbor? Tell your neighbor, God looks at the heart. In fact, tell your neighbor, God is looking at your heart right now. Some of you are physically present, mentally absent. God is looking at your heart. Jesse called Abinadab, made him pass by. Samuel said, hindi po ito, not this one. Next, Shammah passed by. The Lord has not chosen this one either. Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen this. Now, I want you to ask yourself a question. 7 sons. One of them is supposed to occupy Malacañang Palace. Why was David not included? Anybody? Forgotten? What else? I want you to think. Why? Look at the next verse. Samuel said to Jesse, are these all the children? How can God make a mistake? There remains the youngest. Behold, he is tending the sheep. Then Samuel said to Jesse, send him, bring him here. We will not sit down until he comes here. Why do you think the father and the brothers never considered David? Is it possible? That's possible. They feel he's not qualified? They feel he's too young? Yes or no? You know, some of you think that your career and your future is dependent on men. I know some people, they are angry with their parents for the way they grew up, lack of education, and they feel, you have quenched me. I could have been somebody. Listen to me. Your career, your future is never, ever dependent on man. It's on who? God. No boss can stop you. If God wants you to rise up, you will rise up. But understand the principle. Obey now. Not tomorrow, not later. What do I mean? Let's continue reading. He sent and brought him. He was ruddy, meaning nice complexion, beautiful eyes. Wow, what is beautiful eyes? I thought it applies to baby. Beautiful eyes, you know. And a handsome appearance. Guapo para ito si David, no wonder playboy. Huh? A handsome appearance. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him. This is he. Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brothers. Now, everybody read this. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Notice, the key to transformation, to unleashing your destiny, you begin with the Spirit of God. The Bible says the Holy Spirit entered David mightily, meaning God was busy at work mightily, the fullness of God's Spirit. And that was the beginning of the transformation of the life of David. Comprende? You see, your future is never in the hands of men. Your family can forget you. Your parents can look down on you. Your boss can make mistakes. Don't be angry at people. Put your confidence in God. God is the one who will determine your success, yes or no. But you have a responsibility. Obey now. Why do I say that? The Bible tells us when David was anointed, something happened to King Saul. He began to be emotionally disturbed, mentally affected. So you know what God did? God made sure somebody will learn about David. So somebody told the king, you know, king, I know of a great musician. He will calm your spirit. So you know, the king said, bring David here. So David was able to visit the king to play the music from time to time. So now David has two jobs. What is the first job? Shepherd. What's the second job?
Musician.
So he would run back and forth. Now, a big problem came. There was a big problem. Philistine and Israel decided to fight each other. A war was about to break out. So this is now the context. Saul and the men of Israel gathered and come in the valley of Elah. Remember this valley, Elah. Those of you who will go with us to Holy Land next year, not this year, next year. Lord willing, I will bring you to this valley, Elah. Drew up in battle array to encounter the Philistines. The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side. Imagine now, one army one side, and on the other side, Israel. And there's a valley in between them. Can you imagine the picture now? All right. By the way, this is a nice valley. And you'll see a brook where David got the stones. A champion came up from the armies of the Philistine named Goliath. Now, Goliath was pretty tall, 6 cubits and a span, around 9.5 feet tall. Now, who is the highest NBA center that you can think of? Who? Yao Ming? Well, during my time, it was Shaq O'Neal, right? And then Bill Russell, and then you have those great basketball players, Abdul-Jabbar. Now, they can be 7 feet tall, 7 feet, 1-2 inches. It's nothing compared to Goliath. Goliath would have been an NBA star. Imagine, over 9 feet, 6 inches tall.
Yao Ming will just be here.
Oh, ano ka ba? Now, the Bible tells us, if you continue reading, his armor is 125 pounds. Can you imagine 125 pounds? Ako, hirap na ako dyan, ha? His spear, the Bible tells us the head of his spear is 15 pounds, just the head. So this giant was an amazing warrior. Now, he was shouting, cursing God. And he said, Israel, let's have a simple solution. You bring your champion. Mano-mano kami, we will fight. If I die, we will all serve you. If your champion die, you serve us. Let us not kill others. Do you think there was a volunteer from the side of Israel? Was there any volunteer? Let's read this together. The Philistine came forward morning and evening for 45 days and took his stand. This is a comedy. This is a joke. For 40 days, I want you to imagine now, one army on one side, the army on that side, they meet morning and night, and they shout, okay? If you read the Bible, they have a shout. One big fight. Then the other one will shout. One big fight. Now, I do not know the color of their uniform, okay? Maybe it's blue and green. I don't know. But the point is, man, every day for 40 days, it's a joke. What do? You just look at each other. One big fight. Hey, okay? I don't know what they're doing, okay? Crazy. On the 40th day, at the right time, something happened. David was the youngest. The three oldest followed Saul, meaning they became soldiers. David went back and forth from Saul, the king, to tend his father's flock at Bethlehem. Remember his two jobs? Shepherd boy, errand, musician, back and forth. Jesse, the father, said to his son, David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this roasted grain and these 10 loaves. I will not paraphrase it in Tagalog. Magdala ka ng McDonald's hamburger, saka yung Jollibee. Give it to your brothers. Look into the welfare of your brothers and bring back news to them. If you were David, what will you do? I know what some of you will do. Dad, you may have forgotten. I am now the future king. What you are asking me to do is too menial. I need to devote my time to meditation because I'm the future king of Israel. You just ask a messenger, okay? This job is too small for me. Is that what David did? Obey now. What's the principle? If you know God wants you to do something, honor your parents, obey now. Say that with me. Obey now. You know what David did? He obeyed. So the Bible tells us, David arose early in the morning and left the flock with a keeper and took the supplies. Went as Jesse commanded him, obey now. He came to the circle of the camp while the army was going out in battle array, shouting the war cry. Now, what is the war cry again? One big fight. Hopefully. When all the men of Israel saw the giant Goliath, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. No volunteer for 40 days. David spoke to the men who were standing by him. What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He should taunt the armies of the living God. You see what's happening now? God's spirit is now stirring the heart of David. David, why don't you be the one to fight this guy? Everybody was afraid. But when you have the spirit of God, you react differently. Because you don't see things as people see. You see things differently. You see things through the inspired eyes of the Spirit of God. You see, when they saw Goliath, they were all afraid. David did not just see Goliath. David saw God in the battlefield.
In fact, everybody said Goliath was so big. I remember one author, what he said? Goliath was so big. Everybody was afraid of Goliath except David. You know why? David said, this guy is so big, I will never miss him. My whole point is this. Look at me. Some of you have problems. You have Goliaths in your life. And you are so scared. And you know the solution. God tells you what to do. Obey now. But you know why you are not doing it? You are thinking, what will happen? Because you don't see God in your life. You see, when David was filled with the Spirit of God, he became intimate with God. He began to understand. He knows God, God's voice. He knows it. You need to be intimate with the Lord. Now, the Bible tells us what happened. Eliab, the eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. He overheard David. Eliab's anger burned against David, and he said, why have you come down? Whom have you left these few sheep in the wilderness? I know your insolence, the wickedness of your heart. You have come down just to see the battle. Listen to me. If you are David, how would you feel? Falsely accused, maligned. How would you react? Obey now. Obey now means what? You don't do what you like to do. If you were David, you know what you like to do? Defend yourself. Explain. God told David, that's not your fight. Don't fight your brother. Listen. Say that with me. Obey now. Every time you feel angry, every time you want to react, you ask the Holy Spirit, what must I do? Then, listen. Obey now. Well, you know what David did? The Bible tells us. David said, everybody read. Please read. David said, what have I done now? Well, see, not just a question. I love this. He turned away from him. He did not fight his brother. He did not make a big deal, even though, if you ask me, it's a big deal. Falsely accusing you of wrong motives. David said, that's okay. Ladies and gentlemen, understand the principle. Your future depends on the Holy Spirit, on God. Walk with Him. If people malign you, leave that to God. Comprende? God is our defender. Believe it or not, I tell our pastors, to be in leadership, you will be accused, falsely accused. If you busy yourself, trying to explain to everybody, look at me, you are fighting the wrong battle. You do what God wants you to do. Everybody say, obey now. Obey now. So, the Bible tells us, King Saul heard about David. King Saul was so excited. Wow! Somebody's willing to fight this guy. Bring this boy to me. So when Saul met David, I'm surprised Saul did not recognize David. Can you imagine? You're a musician, you don't recognize him. And then Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth. In other words, David felt God urging him to fight. And the king was saying, pare, hindi mo kahayan. You know what I'm discovering? If God tells you to do something, and you know it is of God, don't be surprised. When you hear other people telling you, pare, hindi yan. You know why? There will be always other voices. But let me ask you a question. How will you know whether the voice is from God or not? A book was written by Claire Graff. And I learned a lot of principles from this guy. But the title of the book is 10 Second Principle. The 10 Second Principle is this. When you know God wants you to do something, you must do it in 10 seconds. Comprende? If you don't do that, you begin to think about it, pray about it, something else will come and you will forget what God wants you to do. You agree? But my question to you is this. How do you know if something is from God or not? For example, this girl came to my wife. This girl told my wife, "The Lord is telling me to divorce my husband." And my wife said, "Why?" "Because God wants me to be happy." My wife asked her, "What did your husband do?" "Nothing. I'm just bored with him." This girl does not know the Lord. God's Spirit will never ask you to do anything against the Scripture. When you hear something from your heart, you check that. Is it biblical or is it not? Listen to me. How many of you have read the entire Bible? Raise your hands. Higher, higher. Higher, higher. You have read the entire Bible. Higher. Now, second question. How many of you believe the Bible is the Word of God? You believe the Bible is the Word of God. Raise your hand. You don't have a problem. When I ask you, you believe the Bible is the Word of God, all of you raise your hand. When I ask you, how many of you have read the entire Bible? Less than 50% raise their hand. What's the problem? Look, you want to know God, yes or no? You know why I read the Bible? I read the Bible because I know God loves me and I love Him. And if I love God, I want to know Him. And if I want to know God, I read the Bible. Now, some of you are legalistic. You know, this is your mind. I need to read the Bible. I have to read the Bible. If I don't read the Bible, something bad will happen to me tomorrow. You are legalistic. You know why you read the Bible? Because you love the Lord. Yes or no? Now, listen. When you were courting, when I was not yet married to my wife, and my wife writes me a letter, when you receive a letter, now it's probably email, do you read it? Why do you read those love letters? Why? In fact, some of you will even analyze it. I miss you. Wow, miss. What does it mean, the word miss? I have been thinking about you. Wow, have been thinking. What am I going to be known? You are so excited. You know why? You love the person. Yes or no?
Yes.
The Bible is God's love letter to you. You love the Lord? Yes or no? You love the Lord? Louder. Do you love the Lord?
Yes.
Really? All right. If you love the Lord, will you take time to study His Word, to study His love letter? Yes or no? Look at me. You just watch less TV, 20 minutes a day. Less Facebook. Less cell phone, or whatever. Less for 20 minutes a day. Devoted to study of the Word of God. Speak to the Lord. Read the Bible. In 1 year's time, I guarantee you, you read the entire Bible. Every year, I try to read the entire Bible. I've been doing this for many years. Probably over 40 years. I read the Bible every year. My prayer is you do the same. Get to know the Word of God so that you can practice this obey now principle. You know why? Obey now principle. You check. Mm-hmm. This is not of God. You know why? You know, some things, certain things, you don't even have to pray. Some people use prayer as an excuse. Well, let me pray about it. It's like this boy, okay? This boy was asking the pastor, will you pray for my father? Will you pray for my father? The pastor said, pray for what? That he will come to know Jesus. Okay. After 3 years, the pastor got tired. You know, the boy keeps saying, pray for my father, pray for my father. The pastor said, boy, sir, have you shared the Bible with your father? Have you shared the gospel with your father? Oh, no, no. The pastor said, you know what? I will no longer pray for your father. I will pray for you. That God will use you to share the gospel, and that your father, when he listens to you, God will use you to bring your father to Jesus. You know why? Some of you, you know what God wants you to do. If you're in a moral, immoral relationship, you don't have to pray, Lord, should I break up? Look at me. Obey now. If God is telling you, apologize, forgive, do you need to pray about it? No. Do it louder. Do it now. Now, tonight, do you need to pray about, should I watch TV or should I read the Bible? What's the answer? Louder. Do it now. Well, David told the king, King, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. You know, David was intimate with God. They had past encounter. And I realized something. When you learn to make simple decisions for the Lord, do it now. Someday, when the big decision comes, you are ready. For example, ladies, when I say, do it now, in 10 seconds or shorter, the principle is do it now, it does not mean that if a boy comes to you and the boy said, you know, the Lord told me you should marry me, you will now say, in 10 seconds? No, 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 no. You discuss that with your parents because it's about marriage. The biblical principle, you want to honor your parents. You never say yes to anybody without discussing with your parents when it comes to marriage. Comprende? Major decisions. But you won't be ready to make major decisions if you don't learn to obey now in the simple decisions of life. Comprende? See, turn to your neighbor one more time. Tell your neighbor, do it now. You know why? If you do it now, the Bible tells us, David said to the Philistine, okay, make a long story short. They began to face each other. You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. You see, David knew the Lord. David was filled with the Spirit of God. His confidence is in God, not in a sword, in a spear, or a javelin. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I will strike you down, remove your head, all that, all, everybody read, that all the earth may know. Everybody read, that all the earth may know what? There's a God in Israel. David was preoccupied with the glory of God, for the glory of God. When you do it now principle, you ask yourself, if I say yes to this, if I do this, will it bring glory to God? If I stop doing this, will it bring glory to God? That's how you apply do it now principle for the glory of God. Is it biblical? Does it bring glory to God? And all the assembly, everybody, that all the assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into our hands. Notice his confidence in the Lord. Is that your confidence? Yes or no? Learn to know about God. Study his word. Practice. Obey now principle. And you get to know him, your confidence will grow. Let's read this together. David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. Now, let me ask you, if David applied what most of us will do, should I fight Goliath or not? Everybody look at me. And then David said, let me go home and pray about it. Can I tell you something? If David went home and prayed about, Lord, you really want me to fight Goliath? Can I tell you what will be the answer? The answer will be, Goliath ain't my problem. My job now is a shepherd boy. You see, most of us will gravitate to the comfort zone. But when you are sure that is what God wants you to do, do it, everybody? No. Joseph Bayawa is a classic case. It was hard for him to let go of Cebu. He started Cebu, head pastor. But he understood the principle. Obey, do it now. That's why he's our hero. All the pastors know his story. We use him as a model of trusting God, submitting to God's direction. Sometimes it's not easy. Do it now. Now, the Bible tells us, continue reading. David put his hand in his bag, took from it a stone, slung it, struck the Philistine on the forehead, and the Bible tells us the stone sunk into his forehead, he fell on his face to the ground. In short, he died. Now, how many stones did David get? How many? No, in his pocket. 5 stones. Why? Now, this is something that you don't have to waste your time in, but I want to waste your time when telling you. No, this is just a theory. You know, the theory is this. Many scholars believe that David took 5 stones because Goliath had 4 descendants, 4 giants. Do you know that? If you read the book of Samuel, later on, they killed another 4 giants, like Goliath. But you know what's my theory? Why 5 stones? David was not being presumptuous. Why 5? If I miss, I have 4 more. Am I correct? It's up to you what you want to believe, okay? My point is, David was successful. Everybody, look at the principle. Some of you will never ever experience the ultimate purpose of why God created you. Why? You refuse to obey. There are something in your life that you are not willing to let go. You can never unleash God's full potential. Perhaps it's a relationship, a sinful relationship. I don't know about your life, your business. Perhaps it's unforgiveness. I don't know. But the Bible tells us clearly, you want to experience God's fullness. Is God on our side? Yes. What must you do, everybody? Make sure you have the Holy Spirit. Next step, obey now. Turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, obey now. And then, in God's time, I don't know when you look back, you realize this is what life is really supposed to be. You know, my wife experienced this principle. She was very happy in San Francisco, in San Jose. She was a campus crusade for Christ staff, serving God, very happy being single. But the Lord spoke to my wife. She has been practicing moment obedience for many years. Obeyed God to be a missionary, obeyed God to raise her support, and then the Lord said, why don't you go to the Philippines? She said, yes. In my part, I wanted to go to the States. You know why? My elder brother took his master in the States. My sister took her master in the States. It's my turn. But the Lord made it very clear, don't go to the States. You have a witness with blonde women. So I said, Lord, because of that, I will stay. You know, while in the Philippines, I was bringing my friend, a group of business friends, to an evangelistic gathering. My wife was in that gathering. That's how we met. The rest, as they say, is history. You will never know God's ultimate final plan for your life until you what? Obey now principle. For the next 30 days, can I challenge you? Obey now. Will you practice this principle? Walk in the Spirit. Obey now. Next 30 days. Is that okay with you? Let me close with an amazing story of my daughter. She told me to share with you. You see, my daughter gave me permission to share with you that a few weeks ago, her husband told her, don't bring the balloon home. She said, why will I not bring the balloon home? You know, she bought this Mickey Mouse balloon, all kinds of balloons. And my son-in-law told her, don't bring it home. But my daughter, which most wives will appreciate, you think sometimes you are wiser than your husband. So she brought the balloon home. Nothing wrong, except her husband told her, don't. At home, her youngest boy, Titus, was playing with the balloon. The problem was the balloon got snarled in a vase. And that young boy kept pulling the balloon and the vase fell. It's a very expensive vase. It's a wedding gift for her. And it shattered to pieces. When she heard it, she ran back and she saw the shattered pieces. She said, Lord, why are you so dramatic? I only disobeyed a little. Why do you need to break the vase? Can I tell you, as we close this amazing statement, I'd like you to remember. Everybody, let's close with this amazing statement. Christian character is shaped less by your big, dramatic decisions than by the cumulative impact of thousands of small acts of simple obedience. Obey now, whatever God is telling you. For some of you, start a Bible study in your office. For some of you, you share the gospel with your neighbor. For some of you, apologize. Ask for forgiveness now. I don't know what it is, but begin starting today to be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of God. If you don't bother to try to listen, you will never hear. But if you, every morning, you wake up now, Lord, here's my schedule. Speak to me. How you want me to run my life today? Just listen, and you'll be amazed. The more you know Him, the more you listen to Him, the more you know Him, and before you know it, one of these days, you realize as you look back, this is what I was created for. God's full potential in your life. Would you like that? Let's bow our heads and pray. Some of you cannot even begin. You don't have the Holy Spirit. You have never really asked Jesus to be your Savior. Why? You have never admitted you needed a Savior. You have never surrendered your life to Jesus. Why don't you do it right now? Pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. I need you. Will you come into my heart? Spirit of the living God, fill me right now. I want to depend upon you. I want to listen to you. Be my Savior. Be my Master. Some of you, you have Christ in your heart, but you have never really committed to listen and to obey Him. You want to postpone obedience. Don't postpone obedience. Learn to practice it now. Lord Jesus, I want to pray for my brothers and sisters who are struggling with obedience. Lord, we have been deceived by the devil that it's okay to partially obey you. It is okay to not always obey you. Lord, let us know that is an insult to your grace. Let us know it is a horrible thing to disobey you. Lord, help us to take obedience seriously. Help us to practice the obey now principle. Give us the strength. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Amen.